beauty of the earth, for the love in us, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Amen. As long as you're standing, let's greet one another with God's peace.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Yeah, you can be seated, yeah. Well, good to see you here today. Leanne, coming, not coming? Not today. She doing all right? Yeah. I've got this if anyone wants to do any announcements. Barb and Charlie? Are you doing the announcements? Good to see you. Well, one thing I was wondering about, is there a fellowship time afterwards? There is. Okay. Good. And joys, concerns? I know with me it's a joy and a concern. On Trump's 20-point plan for peace in the Middle East. Looks like we got number one to look forward to, releasing the hostages. It's a tough area to deal with, very tough. Prayers, concerns for peace in the Middle East. Oh, I'd love to see that. I got to tell you right away, and I don't know how you let me get by with this, but last Sunday was not one great hour of sharing. Did anyone notice that? It was not one great hour of sharing. You wouldn't know about that. But see, in the United Church of Christ, we have five special offerings. Neighbors in Need, one great hour of sharing. Strengthen the Church, the Pentecost, and, one more, which I don't, the Christmas fund. But one great hour sharing is in March. It was in the bulletin and everything. And what was it supposed to be yesterday? Neighbors in Need. But I think it all goes to the conference. Neighbors in Need is more of a kind of a closer, neighbors closer, and one great hour of sharing is, like I said last week, started after the Second World War to help especially the European countries recover from war. But it's always to help someone else, so I shouldn't have said anything. You wouldn't have noticed, huh? Okay. A couple things about the bulletin. I tried to find where Brenda got the book she gets. But if you go to the call to worship, which is soon coming up, the last one there where it says, God who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever. Maybe not. Maybe that's all right. Now that I read it again. But on the next page, the prayer of confession, I think 5, we turn away from the plight of our neighbors. A little detail, but when we get there, it's you may notice something different, but don't let that bother you, right? Other joys and concerns, Dave? Well, it doesn't record then very well.
That's okay.
It's okay? Can you take the record, take him off the record on that one? Okay, good. Other joys, concerns, announcements? Well, let's go ahead with our worship then. We call it call to worship, but of course, this is part of worship as well. Keep those, especially Jim Jensen, as you know, is at Glenfields Living with Care. And I had a service there last week, and he came out, and of course we got to talking afterwards. And he loves to tell the stories. Great guy. He's very familiar with Harmony River, and not Harmony River, but Glenfields Living with Care, because his wife was there for, 3.5 years, and he'd go up every day, pretty much, to see her. Then she died, a couple of years ago now? But he come off the farm, and he's there. And Dennis Sharpie, and Olive, this is still on here. I'll turn it off now. There, now it's off. Turn this over to you. And let's go ahead with our call to worship. Responsibly, we read, "Come all who live in the shelter of the Most High, gathered together, all who trust in God Almighty. God reigns through all generations. We will praise God as long as we trust in God, who is our refuge and our fortress. We can count on God's faithfulness at all times. God lifts us up when we are threatened or afraid. We call to God for protection and rescue. Worship God, who richly provides us with all things. Give thanks to the one who dwells in unapproachable light. God, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever, we will pour out our thankfulness in words and deeds." And we pray together to say, "Ever-present God, let your Spirit fill this place, for we need to know that you are in charge. Through the terrors of night, amid the arrows that fly by day, we need to sense your power, your protection, your higher purpose. Show us here your saving, healing strength. Grant to us such confidence and commitment that we may look beyond ourselves and become a blessing to others. Amen." And even though we don't have communion today, it's a prayer of our constant, almost, need to realize we're only human, or fully human in Christ, but yet we need to acknowledge that we do live in a world of sin, but yet, as we pray, our sins are forgiven. Let's say that prayer. All-powerful God, we have become so comfortable with our advantages that we forget what makes them possible. We are so eager for riches that we wander away from faith. We consider ourselves more worthy than others to enjoy your bounty. We look down on people less industrious or differently gifted than we. We turn away from plight of neighbors who need our helping hand. O God, forgive our misplaced priorities. Have mercy on us and melt our hardened hearts so we may participate in the joy of your realm here and now. So be it. And as we pray, in all honesty, knowing our place as a child still learning of God, know that our sins are forgiven. Amen. Let's sing Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Vision of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with God's goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Once again, Jim is coming to read Paul's letter, the second letter. And we think it's Paul, but it doesn't matter. It's still the Word of God to his fellow worker, his student.
A reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before the Lord that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. And a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well." Here ends the word of the Lord today.
Attitude of gratitude. I guess it's kind of a Thanksgiving Day sermon, perhaps. But it's good. I think, I've felt for years that Thanksgiving is kind of getting squeezed out between Halloween and Christmas. Halloween seems to linger on more with various things that must scare little children, I don't know. skeletons, and well, you know what's all out there. But it goes on, of course, good commercial thing. But Thanksgiving is not quite so commercial, so, and Christmas starts before Christmas. It's supposed to be Advent, which leads to Christmas Day, but we're quick to put up our Christmas lights, start buying presents, making plans where to travel, and over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. Horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. A Thanksgiving song. That's what comes to my mind anyway. Hurrah for the fun, is the turkey done? For this is Thanksgiving Day. So goes the song. Just came to me. When we gather around the table. And of course, being more dependent on the land in my early days, a lot of farmers, the harvest was in, and it was truly a day when you counted your blessings and gave thanks. But it's not meant to be only one day, as you know. If it's any comfort to you, tomorrow is actually Thanksgiving Day in Canada. Did you know that? We're close to Canada. But the point is to be thankful all the time, to maintain, if you can, an attitude of gratitude. Maybe we should start with our older testament or the Hebrew scripture texts for today. Jeremiah the prophet was more than a bulldog, croaking all the time, to quote the song by, I think, Three Dog Night. He was also joy to the world, to all the boys and girls. And he wrote a letter to the exiles in Babylon, those who had been carried away from their land and were slaves to the Babylonians. A letter that said, hang in there. Go ahead and plant gardens. Go ahead and build houses. Have kids, get married, raise a family. Live life, because even though you're not on the land that was promised to you, that promised land, you're alive. And someday you'll be going back to there. And of course, they did go back a few years later, and especially scattered all over the world in 1948, the United Nations made a, after the Second World War, a place where they could come home from all over the world being scattered and persecuted all over. Here's home for you, where you'll be safe. Your homeland, the promised land. But as you know, there's people living here, also Palestinians of a different faith. And those two, as you know, really haven't gotten together too well. And now, of course, bombs kill not only, it's Vietnam all over again, folks. That's what I thought when this war first broke out. You can't win these kind of wars, because the enemy is within the civilian population. And how are you going to root them out? Bomb the whole works. Man, woman, child, not only the soldier. It's heartbreaking. It's very sad. Yet we still can celebrate to think that, okay, there's hope there, especially now. It wasn't good. So Israel needed to be reminded of there's always cause for celebration. And our lectionary always lists celebratory psalms or various scriptures that go along with the topic for the day, which can serve as a companion with whether the gospel or whether a letter to Timothy or whatever the case may be. And Psalm 66 is listed as a psalm like that, that certainly expresses an attitude of gratitude in the Spirit of God. It's about praise for God's goodness to Israel, to the leader, a psalm. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. And all the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Go ahead, sing praises to your name. Selah, which means another verse. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Their history now. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, who keeps watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves, Selah. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. That's a reference to the wounded who were engaged in this fight with the Babylonians. They didn't want to go. They'd be injured and they'd lay beside the road and the horses would come and step right on their heads. Awful. But he ends, the psalmist, yet you have brought us out of a spacious place. And it goes on. Praise God for your steadfast love, for his mercy is forever. Truly a psalm of gratitude. Another one, of course, is Psalm 11 that they recommend, which, once again, is a psalm of gratitude for God's wonderful works. And it ends with that very familiar text, at least I know to me. Remember that the fear or the reverence, the holiness, the sacredness, the respect, the reverence of God for Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The psalmist, the Proverbs, echoes that. Have reverence for God, who is special, awesome, sacred, holy, above all, in all, through all, creator, sustainer, redeemer, we Christians say, in Christ Jesus. You heard another letter read then by Paul this morning, or some say the epistle. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 13. There's a song in that. I don't know, Jim, what do you think? Should I sing that? You think so? The reason I know it's a song is because it says this. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also abandon the salvation that is, obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. In other words, this is a wise saying. It could be a poem. It's indented like a poem in Bibles nowadays. I think it's a song. Don't know what it sounded like, but maybe it was something like this. Second Timothy 2, 11 through 13. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithfulness, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. For he cannot deny himself. And one of those phrases is troubling to me. And Jim and I talked this about a little bit, and I know it is for you too. It's that line that says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And I think what that means is if we turn our back on Christ Jesus, what can he do? I'll try and keep up with you, the Spirit says. I'll be on your back. Look here, let's walk together. Follow me. That's what being a disciple is all about, right? No, I don't want that. I'll do it myself. I think that's the meaning of it. Because it does end. Even though we're faithfulness, he remains faithful to our welfare, to the journey of humankind, when humankind's journey becomes a journey with God, to walk together in all God's ways. Now, to me, that's something to be thankful for, that we have a God like that, who doesn't turn away from us. Do we have the attitude for gratitude? And I'll bear you, it's hard to keep that up. And yes, I suppose I'm probably among the nine lepers or people with skin disease. Once again, we're not really sure what it was they had that separated them from the colony. Can you help me tell that story? You just heard it read. Jesus and his disciples are passing through the village, and they're run across 10 lepers. Now, they're not on the path, are they? Where are they? Because they have leprosy or whatever, where are they? They're off. They're off the path. They're out there. Because, ooh, they're contagious. We don't want them around us. And nowadays, of course, sciences, maybe that isn't necessary so much. But they cry out to Jesus, right? And what do they say? Jesus, have mercy on us. Yeah. Look at us. Don't forget us. What have we done wrong? We're alone out here. Only have each other. They drop our food off. We're not in. We can't worship. We have to worship in the synagogue. Have mercy. So Jesus says, sorry, I'm in a hurry, right? Right? Shake your head if I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Of course he didn't say that. But what does he say? That's kind of surprising. He doesn't say you're healed right away, does he? He doesn't go to them, touch them. What does he say? Go see the priests. Show yourself. Huh? So there must have been some change in their reflection, I would think. Because why? As they went, they were made clean. They were healed as they went. All right. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Because do they all turn around then and thank Jesus? No. Only one goes back and shows, I guess we assume it's men, a man, his attitude of gratitude, his thankfulness. Does Jesus say? Maybe he does, but it's not recorded. You're welcome. Well, it goes right to another question, which is, how many? Where are the other nine? Yes. But it doesn't end there. Jesus says to the one, go on your way, for here he says what? What has made you well or whole? Your faith, your trust in me. Having you go to the religious authorities was all right thing to do. Well, I love those stories. And did anybody notice, Jim, I'm sure you noticed it. We alluded to it last week, the same story. And whether I made a mistake and just read ahead and talked about it anyway, or whether it's so important that we bring it up again, and I'm glad I did, because it reminds me that's something to work for. Or, you know, we have to work on it a little bit. And we can play with it too. But know that God is with us, you and me together. In times of separation, and there's so much as we age, isn't there? We know more and more people who have died. Our parents, our grandparents, sickness, injury, neighbors, friends, more and more. We realize my time's shorter than it used to be. It's coming. Got to be careful you don't trip and fall. Injury could lay you up forever. Separation, divorce, arguments over this or that, especially politics. One side or the other, come on, get real. We're all people in this together. Now, how about any of you experience ageism yet? Well, he's old, he don't know nothing. You can't do what, Grandpa? Here, let me show you. And they grab your cell phone and, oh, it's that easy, huh? I was the same way. Shoot, when I was growing up, I thought high schoolers were old. I want to end with a story. I may have read this before to you, I'm not sure, but it's worth hearing again. It takes a couple minutes. I'm going to read it. It's from a book called Stories for Telling, but I'm going to read it. It's called The Wooden Bowl. Strike any chimes? Of course, it's based on the fourth commandment, which is what? Honor your father and your mother. Or as my good friend who is deceased, Margaret Abbott, would say, and your grandpa, and your grandma, and your great-grandpa, and your great-grandma, and your great-great-grandma. She loved going on with that. Sure. Honor our parents, older adults. It's a German folk tale, commentary on the fourth commandment. It goes like this. There once was a couple who lived with their only son, Conrad. They lived in a modest house at the edge of a great forest. Though they were not rich, they lived a comfortable and a happy life together. One day the man's father came to make his home with the young couple. The old grandfather's eyes had grown dim, his ears nearly deaf, and his hands shook like leaves in the wind. When he ate, he was unable to hold his spoon without spilling food on the tablecloth and the floor. Often bits of food would run out of his mouth, soiling his clothing For months, the young couple discussed the irritating behavior of the old man. Finally, they set a table for him to eat in a corner of the kitchen. As he ate, he looked sadly at his family. When he spilt his food, he would sob. Finally, one day, the old man's trembling hands could no longer hold the glass bowl, and it fell to the floor, breaking into a dozen pieces. The woman scolded him and immediately went to the market where she purchased, you guessed it, a wooden bowl for the grandfather. As the days passed, the old man said very little as he sat in his corner eating out of his wooden bowl. Now, late in the fall, the father came home from a long day's work to find Conrad, that's the son, sitting in the middle of the floor, carving a block of wood. "What are you making, my young man?" asked the father. "It's a present for you and Mommy," answered the child. "I am carving two wooden bowls so that you will have something to eat from when you live with me in your old age." The husband and wife looked at each other for a long time, and finally they began to weep. That evening, they moved the old grandfather back to the family table. And from that day on, he always ate with them. And they said nothing, even when he spilled his food. Even when he spilled his food. Yeah. Let that be a lesson to all of us. I know it is to me. Our statement of faith is found in your hymnal, the 1959 version, this being the second week of the month. Together, we confess that we believe in God, the Eternal Spirit, Father of our Savior Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before each one the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating, renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. We are so blessed. Number 795, we sing at once. Diane keeps playing and we keep praying. And then we sing it again after the Lord's Prayer. We are so blessed. blessed by the gift from your hand. I just can't understand why you've loved us so much. We are so blessed, we just can't find a way or the words that can't say thank you, Lord, for your touch. When we're empty, you fill us till we overflow. When we're hungry, you feed us because all to know we are so blessed. Take what we have to bring, take it all, everything. Lord, we love you so much. As we honor you, God, and as we give you praise and thanksgiving, yeah, we know we should be thanking all the time, for it wouldn't be for you, we wouldn't be even here at all. And then Jesus, who rescues us from falling, from turning away, from backsliding, whatever you put it, because of Jesus tapping us on the shoulder, say, turn around here, let's walk together. I came to save you, redeem you. We say thank you for sure. So we say, take what we have to give. Not that we have to beg or plead or demand, but each of us not only works with our mind, with our ears, our tongue, our hands, our arms, our legs, our feet, the feet of peace, hopefully, that we bring good news, that we stand as true soldiers of Jesus Christ, so to speak, with the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the Word of God, which is a good weapon that can open people's hearts to your love. We pray not only for ourselves here, but may our requests go with many other requests at this time all over the world, for peace with justice, for plenty for all, that we might care for your creation, that we might trust in all the people that work for your cause, from the farmer in the field to the one teacher in the classroom to a scientist at the lab desk working on a cure for this or that, to those in government who might realize that, hey, we're all in this together. And our real foe, our real enemy, is within us all. So hear us as we pray the prayer which really says it all. As we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are so blessed. We are so blessed by the gifts from your hand. I just can't understand why you've loved us so much. We are so blessed. We just can't find a way or the words that can say it. Thank you, Lord, for your test. When we're empty, you fill us till we overflow. When we're hungry, you feed us and cause us to know we are so blessed. Take what we have to bring. Take it all, everything. Lord, we love you. We stand and we sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God, all above you, heavenly host, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray with me to say that what a joy to have something to give. Thank you, God, for granting us choices in the use of all you have placed on earth for our use. We have chosen this portion to dedicate for the ministry of the church in our community and in outreach throughout the world. Make us aware of the needy at our doors, as well as lost ones everywhere who long for the bread of life. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, I trust, O Lord, from thee. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers and showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now all refreshing, come now and honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for your showers we plead. though there be showers of blessing, oh, that today they may fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.